Call to order the Tax Reform Division of the Senate Committee on Taxes for Thursday, January 17th. Not on the agenda, but we do have. Did you pass on?
No, it isn't.
Just as part of the procedure, usually we will have the minutes of the previous hearing in front of us. We will take them up for today and yesterday the next time we meet. I prefer to adopt minutes as we go along rather than have them prepared by the committee clerk. And members never see them because they're never done before the end of session. So I prefer to operate a little bit differently. We have two bills in front of us. I don't anticipate that we're going to take the full time to 11 o'clock, hoping we can be done within an hour. One of them is just some cleanup language. The other one is discussion in the broader areas of expansion of the sales tax with the opportunity to lower the rate. Senator Scoy.
Okay, the first bill on the agenda for today is Senate File 35, Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman and members, I have an amendment that I would like put on the bill, deleting Section 7. Ms. Pollack, it is the A1 amendment, correct?
Mr. Chair and Senator Rest, yes, that's correct.
Okay, the A1 amendment, please.
Okay, Senator Rest moves the A1 amendment. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill proposes, and also in the name of expanding the sales tax base to reflect modernizing our sales tax system to a global economy, high-tech economy of the 21st century by expanding the sales tax base to digital goods and products, which are defined in the bill. Some think that the list is not exhaustive enough and that there should be a longer list to in the name of clarity, but what we have done in this bill is to take the definitions of digital goods generally, as I understand it, and Ms. Pollack can correct me if I get this wrong, we've taken the definitions that are part of the streamlined sales tax agreement defining digital goods. It's also, with regard to goods and products, taking the definitions that were used in the bill that was, and which is now state law in the state of Washington, which depends entirely, which excludes entirely income tax, personal income tax, as part of its revenue streams. And so the state of Washington is real interesting, and to my mind, for tax policy, it's a really interesting state to look at because it attempts to include almost everything in their sales tax base. And so it's very, very broad. And having a rate that then stabilizes those revenues so that if one sector of the economy that maybe is having a slowdown and consumers aren't involved in one part of it, the base is so broad that it does not do drastic damage to their revenue collection for whatever their state thinks it should be they should be paying for. Some might think that if you look at the revenue estimate, that it's fairly low. It's only from what we think about, you know, the purchases of downloaded digital goods, that it ought to be more than $6 million. However, if you look at the revenue estimate, I believe it will indicate that it is not dealing with digital services, and that is probably where the most activity is with regard to digital downloads, rather than something like books, which we already tax. We already tax software, and what's the other item we tax? Ms. Pollock? There are two things that digitally downloaded that we tax. Software and what's the other one?
Mr. Chair, Senator Rest, just a moment. And
it's two things. It doesn't include software. It's my understanding it also doesn't include subscriptions as opposed to books. It doesn't include magazines or whatever that are downloaded, which is also a coming thing. And part of the issue with that, I think, is going to be we don't exempting newspapers is a tax expenditure. We don't tax newspapers, so does it matter if we don't tax them as a hard good? Would it be inconsistent to tax them as a digital download? And that's something that we can talk about as we go along and continue this discussion of tax expenditures. I understand that the nonpartisan staff is meeting with the people who are first timers on the committee, and I've asked Ms. Pollock in particular to emphasize for this division the looking at the tax expenditure book, looking at the report that was made by the Department of Revenue in February of 2011, and also I think the to really judge what how do you go about evaluating whether a tax expenditure is good tax policy, what kinds of decisions, what kinds of questions should you ask about it, and should we and to what extent should we act on the answers to those questions. They never give us anything that's less than 50 pages, it seems. But in their report that was done in February of 2011, they make some recommendations about how to evaluate the tax expenditures. They make some they give us some information about what other states do in evaluating tax expenditures, in particular mentioned Washington, in particular Washington, which is a sales tax state, but also Iowa, Maine and Rhode Island, Oklahoma, Delaware, and California, because what those states have done in part, and one of the recommendations that the Department of Revenue had a couple years ago was to establish, you know, we don't usually like to do that, but establish a commission that reviews on an annual basis a specific number of tax expenditures, evaluates them, indicates whether they should be continued. It's kind of a little bit like a sunset commission, whether they should be continued, whether they are continuing to serve their purpose, whether they should be sunsetted, whether they should be changed, whether the and separates the items so that those that are statutorily, in a sense, protected from being reviewed for either economic reasons or constitutional reasons or whatever, that we move forward on those. And some of the things, the criteria that they use, and I hope that you will look at all of the proposals coming forward, including the one right here, which I think does have some things we need to look at. In particular, you know, is it clear that it doesn't include services? You know, is the language clear that it doesn't include services? Is the language clear that at this point we're not talking about taxing things that are put out on the cloud? So they recommend that there were six criteria in setting priorities for evaluations, and they have them in, like, in priorities, that is it an exception to the reference tax base that they talk about earlier? Is it, can it be, and this is something that has always intrigued me, why do we put something in the tax code when it could be cheaper to just write a check, you know, for the state to have it as an appropriation rather than kind of hide it as a tax expenditure? So one of their recommendations as a criteria for evaluation is, could it be easily replaced with a direct expenditure while maintaining the benefit that the proposal purports to deliver? To evaluate it if it has a large annual revenue impact or a high annual rate of growth. When we put, let's say, you know, what's been the growth in the credit for child care expenses? Has that had an unusual rate of annual growth? If it has, it doesn't mean get rid of it. It means it's really a good thing to know what you're doing with it and that it is behaving in a way in which the revenue system had anticipated. Are people interested in it? Has it been the subject of particular tax expenditure? Has it been the subject of recent legislative proposals for either modification or repeal? And in last year's vetoed bill, there was a lot of attention paid to, and we'll do the same with Senator Gazelka and Senator Anderson's bill, with the way in which Minnesota treats military pay and military pensions. So looking at the tax expender currently with regard to that, because it is the subject of recent ongoing legislative proposals, is, in my mind, also a very important criterion as we consider these proposals. The fifth one for us to consider as it goes forward is, how difficult is it to administer? The proposal, one of the sales tax proposals that I had yesterday, had, you know, that one where you only pay on the part of a purchase that's over $200. So if something costs $200, you only pay the tax on $10. It was hard to calculate that, but it's also might be a really difficult. I mean, I saw it eventually in thinking about it. It's really difficult to administer in a very simple way that people can understand and so forth. So I think we need to look at that as well. And then their sixth criteria was, could the tax expenditure either be repealed or modified without creating new administrative problems? And that's the law of unintended consequences. And we know how much experience we've had with that, Mr. Chairman, Senator Scoy, with Green Acres. We think we've got the problem solved, and we pat ourselves on the back, and then all of a sudden, the changes that we made did not have either, at least in some people's mind, did not have the intended consequences. Maybe in others it did, but they were unpalatable, and they could not endure. And so that's another example of paying attention to that. That criterion. The amendment that I had, it took out the section that lowered the tax rate, and it's still my intention that as we review any kind of proposals that broaden the base in any of the systems, that broaden the base with the stated purpose of lowering the rate, that be considered in part of the mix, but I'm not going to get silly about it, which is that when you have a revenue estimate that shows that something only raises $6 million, we're not going to I'm not going to put in a section in the bill that says, well, the tax rate will go from 6.5 to 6.4999. But my intent is, with any of these proposals, is to look at the way in which it affects our ability to have a revenue neutral rate. And that is, I think, how we need to approach all of these policies, even if eventually, we don't know, it's going to be jumping around here next Tuesday to see what the governor does. We don't know what he's going to do, except that I think it's fair to assume that in some part of the tax system, he is going to propose raising revenue. We don't know where yet, but I am equally confident that in other areas he is going to propose tax relief, and we need to be looking at all of those. So that is the general proposal, and if you have questions about any of the provisions in it or the definitions, the Department of Revenue is here to explain anything that's different than what I have, and certainly Ms. Pollack. But the terms, the policy, is added to the list of things that are subject to the sales tax, and you see that on line 4.23, and then throughout, and then in sections 4 and 5 and 6 are the definitions of the terms that are in the earlier statement. I understand that Senator Thompson made a comment earlier about how this would apply so much to young people and the youth, and I felt very complimented because I buy lots of digital download stuff, and I've got 130 books on my iPad, and so I felt pretty hip Senator Thompson, Mr. Chairman, to be included in the youth culture.
Okay, Senator Ress. Senator Kozelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Ress, first of all, your attempt to do a revenue-neutral bill and bring reform, I appreciate. I think that's a good goal. I do have a question of clarification.
Sure.
iTunes, would that be, if somebody downloads that, does that fall into this? Because I read music, I just don't know. You talked about
right.
the cloud, and I'm not an expert, so that's what my
question is. Well, in the past, we had, in fact, I guess it was my bill, had exempted the ringtones. They had been subject to the sales tax, but you could download a whole song and not be subject to the sales tax. So there's a level playing field issue there. But yes, it would be. Music would be okay. included. Did you, Mr. Chairman, Ms. Pollack, did you find that other item that we tax already?
Mr. Chair and Senator Rest, I'm not sure if you're referring to computer software generally and then the pre-written kind of custom software.
Well, we tax the I have it here. We tax games. We tax downloaded games. We tax software and downloaded games. What we have not taxed is books, music, films, TV, watching movies on your computer, et cetera. There are a number of states that tax all of them, like Alabama. Oh, currently, Alabama, Arizona, Connecticut, the District of Columbia, Hawaii, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Nebraska,
yes.
North Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont. This is not, we're not cutting edge here to include those other downloaded products as well. And as I mentioned, the services are not included, but it's something that in terms of this, you know, the global economy rather than the old economy, that we certainly should be thinking about. And it's not whether you raise more money, it's whether you raise the dollars that reflect the economy that we're in terms of consumption. And as I mentioned yesterday, I am much more a fan, after having tried to do otherwise, considering the consumption taxes to occur at the point of sale to an individual rather than business between businesses. It's just too hard to unwind, in my opinion, although the revenue estimates on it are, rival taxing on accounting services, business-to-business, and legal services begin to rival the imposing the tax on clothing as a single item. But I am hoping we don't go there.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Rest. So currently we would tax an antivirus software that is downloaded on your computer because that's a software. Am I understanding
now
that?
I have to have that for specific questions like that. I need the department to tell me that.
Ms. Von Mosch, maybe here.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Scoy, the department has indicated, at least informally, that more specificity is better than less.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, committee members, I believe this is a complex area, so I actually have Susan Berry with me to help me out with some of these questions.
Excuse me, Ms. Von Mosch, if you could identify
yourself
for the record.
Susan Von Mosch, Assistant Commissioner for Tax Policy for the Department of Revenue. I do have one of the attorneys here to help. We believe that, yes, the antiviral software would be considered taxable within the software definition.
And so it's already in the base?
Yes, I believe that is correct. It's already in the base.
And Mr. Chair, Ms. Van Marsch, what would be some examples of services that would be downloaded? I'm not that familiar with what we'd be contemplating there that are not included in this bill, but they're services that would be downloaded, and Senator Rest referred to that in her talk, her presentation. Got any? Because I don't know what that would be. Oh, maybe Ms. Pollock can help.
Just like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Skoy, I believe one example of that, of some of the things that are not included in this bill, would be subscription services for either newspapers, journals, scholarly journals, that sort of thing. I think that would be one example of something that is not included in this bill at this time.
Newsprint and magazines,
Mr. Chairman,
et cetera.
In a document that I have, and others can look at it too, from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities from recent, December 13, 2012, there are, for example, some fee-based online services that would be downloaded that you, I guess there are subscriptions to it, such as video streaming services, Netflix, for example. I don't think that's included here. Audio streaming services like Spotify or Rhapsody, more kind of exotic ones like online dating services or online adult chat services,
sure,
those
sure.
things that can, people can. Brokerage services can be downloaded. Online computer backup services, online home security monitoring. Mm-hmm. Those are, you know, services that people purchase, again, in the digital world.
Sure.
And it's not my intent here that base be expanded to them, because I think we, as Ms. Van Marsch mentioned, this is a very, very, the new economy is a very complicated economy. We want to make sure, in particular, it seems to me, that we do not get into pyramiding, that, and the telecommunications, which we won't totally, we're not going to go into, but the telecommunications companies such as Verizon or whatever get very concerned when the state tax policies, you know, go on top of one another, and they'll have a telecommunications tax or fee, they'll have other kinds of taxes or fees, and then a state slaps the a sales tax on them. And I'm not saying that the sales tax shouldn't be used, but not in a pyramiding scheme. And where things are applied at the wholesale level, then they get into the price, and then, like tires, at the federal level, and then all of a sudden you're paying a tax on a tax. Mm-hmm. And I think that is also a, when we look at these and any proposals, that we make sure that we're doing that, we understand what the consequences are. And if they don't have all these fees in the telecommunications area and you apply the tax, the sales tax, well, that's one thing. But if you don't, then you've got to look at everything that is imposed at as a fee. The other general principle in the digital world we need to consider and be consistent on, and that's why even in the digital economy, people would prefer to have a federal overarching set of policies to deal with it, and that is determining where the point of sale occurs. So if you're at MSP Airport and you purchase something there on your computer, and you you know, you have Wi-Fi on the airplane, so you download it there, and you and they send your bill to your home in Chicago. Where did the sale occur, and which taxing jurisdiction can either impose a tax or not impose a tax, depending on their overall state tax policy. And I think that the general, the simplest thing on all of that is the place where the bill is sent. Where does the consumer who purchases that reside? And if there's a tax owed, that it's to that, it's paid to that state. So in this instance, the example, the tax would be paid, collected, owed, collected, paid to the state of Illinois. So.
And Mr. Chair.
Senator Scott.
Thank you. And then one other thing that I think you're contemplating here. So if you buy a movie and download it onto your hard drive, you would pay sales tax on that. But if you stream the movie through Netflix, so it doesn't become part of your computer, it's just being played, then you would not.
We have not moved to that yet, and I do think it's fraught with.
And so if you buy a song on iTunes, you'll pay sales tax on it. But if you listen to the same song on Skitcher or one of those radio services that you'd stream, you would not.
Not in this bill.
Not in this bill. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Dziesek.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rust, I have going back to the computer software question that Senator Scoy asked. So find it here. So currently pre-written software is taxable. And then on line 612, it says digital goods do not include computer software. So which computer software? So does that clarify what the difference between pre-written software and on line 612 computer software?
I'm sorry, I'm going to ask the department to come back. Depend on their expertise here. And tell me, Mr. Chairman, Senator Dziesek, what lines were you referred to?
Okay, so on line 434, Mr. Chairman, Senator Rust, on line 434, tangible personal property includes pre-written computer software. And on line 612, as digital goods are defined, digital goods do not include computer software. Trying to clarify.
I think it's because we're trying to make sure that the two separate sections don't overlap one another. But, Senator, Mr. Chairman, perhaps Ms. Pollack can clarify that.
Ms. Pollack.
Or Ms. Von Mosch, but go ahead.
Mr. Chair and Senator Dziesek, the intent there was to not include computer software because that is, I believe, considered tangible personal property. There are some issues that I've recently learned about with drafting and some overlaps like you just mentioned, so we're working on cleaning those up.
Ms. Von Mosch, any comment? Is that your understanding, too?
Mr. Chair, Senator Rust, we're in agreement with what Ms. Pollack said, and the one item we pointed out is the way it's drafted to tangible personal property, and so we can work after the hearing to clarify or to get the language rewritten a little bit so that it doesn't interfere with streamlined sales tax provisions.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's explaining the concepts in the bill is reflected in the language, and it is a new area. Once again, trying to modernize our tax system to reflect that we are now in a global economy, That is highly, the consumer economy is no longer just where we look for the imposition of sales taxes is not just in hard goods. And, Mr. Chairman, I would just ask you to lay the bill over, if you will.
Senator Rest, we do have one person on the testifier.
Yes.
So, Ms. Cadoon. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Beth Cadoon. I represent the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. I did want to just come up and express our concerns that we have with Senate File 35 as it's currently written. If the intent is to expand tax to digital goods, such as books, movies, artworks that are currently taxed in its physical form but not in the digital, that's something that the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, we currently do not have a position on. We'll certainly bring that back to our membership to see if this is a sort of change that we need to update our tax structure, if there's any competitiveness concerns with that. However, we have heard from our membership regarding the language as currently drafted. We are happy to hear what the intent was. Our concern right now is that the language is a little overly broad, that it does need some fine-tuning to make sure we're really getting at the intent that was stated and also reflected in the revenue estimate. So we'd certainly be happy to work with the Senate author on that as well as staff to make sure. We want to make sure, too, as well as we're very aware that we really want to make sure we're still in conformity with the streamlined sales tax. I mentioned we need some language changes on that. So, like I said, we're happy to work with you and to make sure we're following the intent of the author.
Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think Ms. Cadoon makes a very good point that it's easier to understand when we know that a book is a tangible product. We know that we can put it in our hands, and the and to level the playing field when a book is delivered in a different manner. It's when you get beyond that that the whole area of digital goods and services takes on a lot of complexity and easier to understand. Okay, you go to the video store and you buy a video or you download a video. It gets complicated when you download the service. And how is it? Because it's not, you're not keeping it. You know, it is providing the opportunity to view something that after a certain period of time goes away. And so you don't have ownership of it as you do when you buy a book or you download a book like I do on my iPad. So that is what really does complicate the discussion in my mind. Thank you very much.
Okay. If any questions from members for either Ms. Cadoon or Senator Rest? Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the next bill is...
Senator Rest, would you like to move to adopt the bill as amended, and then we'll lay it over?
Actually, we just, by adopting the amendment, the bill is before us as amended, and so what I would request that you do is just lay the bill on the table as amended.
Okay.
We don't need a motion.
Okay. The bill is laid over as amended, and the next bill on the agenda is Senate File 34. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 34 is really pretty much a technical fix to remove some obsolete language. We have repealed the, at least in one area, the accelerated June tax payment, whereby in the past, in order to get money into this biennium or this fiscal year, we required those who collected the sales tax to pay it early. And we have gotten rid of that, and that is a, you know, that's a step forward, I think, all of us that get involved with these timing issues on payments don't like to have people keep paying them early or getting or in some instances delayed so that it comes in the next biennium or the next fiscal year, and we know that's always an issue when we talk about the way in which we fund our school districts. But we did repeal the June accelerated sales tax. The final thing was dependent upon how what the balances were in the cash flow account and the budget reserve. And I'm going to let, if she will, Ms. Quaid, explain how that process worked, if you would come to the table, Mr. Chairman, so that people understand why did it just go away? And it was put in the statute to be accomplished. And I'm going to ask her to just explain that to you.
Mr. Chair and members, the early remittance of the sales tax was put into law in 2009, and it required that on for the June payment, the payment be made instead of in July, that it be made in June, which shifted the fiscal year and gave more money, as Senator Resta was explaining. This provision also had a blink-off. It said that whenever the budget reserve and the cash flow were fully restored, that this early remittance would no longer be required. And as of the February 2010 forecast or 2012 forecast, the budget reserve and the cash flow were fully restored, and so there was no longer a mechanism in law to require this early remittance, and so therefore there is no cost to repeal it, and there is actually also no provision in law which requires it to restart once the budget reserve or cash flow fell below their statutory levels. So repealing the language does.
So what we're doing here is just repealing obsolete language with regard to that. So it's gone and would only come back if we reenacted it, which I think we will probably refrain from doing. Mr. Chairman, this is a technical bill. I am going to ask that the committee take formal action on it and send it up to the full committee. And we will be seeing another bill. Senator Skoy is the author, that applies the same policy to the early payment, early June payment of the two excise taxes, one on tobacco and one on alcohol. That does have a cost. It's about $13-14 million in tax relief. It's a timing issue still. It's nothing more than a timing issue, but these timing issues do cost us money, and so we need to examine those, and that will be coming before the division as well. But it's also a level playing field issue. I mean, if the retailers are now excused from the early payment, tell me why the tobacco sellers and the people that have to remit the early payment on alcohol taxes shouldn't have the same tax break and timing. But that's for later. It will be introduced later. So, Mr. if there are no questions on this.
Any questions from members?
Then I would move that Senate file number 34, it does not need to be amended, Senate file number 34 be passed and referred to the full tax committee.
Okay, the motion is to that Senate File 34 be passed and be referred to the full tax committee. All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed, nay. The motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe there's no further business before the committee. And if there is none, you may adjourn the committee.
Okay, it looks like we're done then, so we're adjourned.